Can't Win Me Back. Chapter 2451. Jasper's eyes glimmered as he walked to Julian's side. His trembling hand found Julian's shoulder, gripping it firmly. They exchanged a solemn look. No words were needed. Cheryl's heart pounded with urgency, sweat beading on her forehead. The evidence was undeniable. She had no immediate way out. All she could do was lash out in a desperate attempt to sow confusion. Even with these reports, all they prove is that Mr. Jasper didn't do drugs. It was just a misunderstanding. How can you accuse Mr. Justin of orchestrating this? Alyssa stepped forward, her expression glacial. A smirk played on her lips as she questioned, "If Sir had nothing to do with it, does that mean you did?" Cheryl's eyes widened in fury. "Sir and I have never underscore." She cut herself off abruptly, her breath hitching. A cold sweat broke over her skin. She had just called Justin Sir in public, his greatest taboo. Alyssa. That bitch. She had set her up. Justin's pale face remained unreadable, but the tension in his jaw and the veins bulging at his temples betrayed the darkness roiling beneath his calm. A misunderstanding. Landon stepped forward too. Standing by Jasper's side, he continued, "This misunderstanding, as you carelessly call it, led to my best friend being accused of drug abuse. His reputation was shredded. He spent days being interrogated in the interrogation room, and the moment he was released, they stripped him off his title as president. The entire corporation turned against him. The internet crucified him. And now you want to wave it all away? Just call it a misunderstanding and move on? If I killed your father, could I just shrug it off as a mistake?" His words, though crude, struck like a hammer. Cheryl's face drained of color. Her legs trembled. She couldn't hold on much longer. The reporters swarmed Julian, snapping photos of the documents in his hands. Within moments, headlines blazed across every major media outlet, the articles spreading like wildfire. "Justin." "Sir." Alyssa's voice was cold, deliberate. She paused between the two titles, letting the weight of her words settle. Justin lifted his dim eyes to meet hers. His lips curled into a slow, deliberate smile. Even drowning in resentment, he could still smile at Alyssa. As Jasper watched the smile bloom across Justin's face while he looked at Alyssa, an uncontrollable tremor overtook him. Justin's smile was like a blade slicing through his chest, splitting his heart in two. One half was left to freeze, and the other half was left bleeding. Jasper gasped for air. It had been a long time since he had felt such pain. His heart ached for Alyssa. "Your private physician, Ms. Gillis, insists you're innocent, that you had no knowledge of this. But do you truly deserve to be called innocent?" Alyssa's voice was calm. Then her eyes flashed with something fierce, something merciless. "You listened to a rat slander and, without proof, assumed Jasper was a drug addict. Instead of searching for the truth, you seized the moment to make things worse. You had your own brother arrested. You used this as an opportunity to take his position and claim everything that was his as your own. Justin, you are greedy, ruthless, and unworthy of your title. You should be the one to step down. Can't Win Me Back." Chapter 2452. Mandy remained by Remy's side in the hospital ward, never once leaving him as he lay unconscious. At this moment, like countless other Sarisians, she was also watching the shocking turn of events at Beckett Group's press conference unfold through her phone. She saw Julian's unexpected appearance and how he presented his evidence, turning the tide just as Jasper was engulfed by public criticism. Though pride and relief filled her heart, a deep concern lingered. Julian and Jonah had not spoken of it, but everyone in the family could tell they had broken up. Julian had left for Mosgravia without a word of farewell, only calling her once in haste to say he was fine. Jonah, on the other hand, rarely returned home, and when he did, he looked drained, his once bright eyes now clouded with gloom that refused to lift. Mandy's heart ached for them both, yet she had no idea what had driven them apart. Now that Julian had returned to support Jasper, there was a chance he would cross paths with Jonah. From the depths of her heart, Mandy hoped this would be the opportunity they needed to reconcile. Just then, a knock at the door pulled her from her thoughts. After she responded, the door swung open, revealing Winston's trusted aide, Neil. He entered hurriedly. "Mrs. Taylor, did something happen to Yodash?" His words trailed off the moment he saw the man lying unconscious on the hospital bed. His breath caught as he took in Remy's face, a face eerily similar to Damien's. A chill ran down his spine. He rubbed his eyes hard, as if to dispel an illusion. "My word. They look so much alike. How can two people look so alike?" Mandy's eyes welled up. Her fingers trembled as she gently traced Remy's features. "They don't just look alike. If you ask me, they are the same person. I gave birth to Damien. I would recognize him no matter what. He is Damien. He is." Neil had never seen Mandy this emotionally shaken. Concern flickered across his face. He hesitated before speaking, "I truly understand how you feel, but Mr. Damien was in an aircraft disaster. His plane crashed into the sea. The rescue team searched for a month but found no survivors. The official announcement confirmed that." Mandy's heart clenched. She tightly grasped Remy's calloused hands as though holding onto her last shred of hope. Years had passed, yet she still remembered Damien's hands, slender and delicate. Not like this, rough with wounds and calluses. What had her child endured all these years? Neil stepped closer, studying Remy's face. "If this really is Mr. Damien, how is it possible? It was a plane crash. How did he survive? That's why I need your help to verify this now. I believe you're a responsible man who can be discreet. I have no one else to turn to for this." She carefully handed him a plastic bag containing a bloodied handkerchief. "This has his blood on it. I need you to dash." Neil understood instantly. "You want a DNA test?" Mandy nodded, eyes brimming with tears. "Neil, ever since I saw him at the hospital that day, I've been secretly searching for him. Now that I've finally found him, I can't let him slip away again. Please don't tell Winston until we know for certain. His health isn't what it used to be. I can't risk giving him such a shock." Neil exhaled heavily, sensing the weight of the task she entrusted him. He gave a firm nod. "Understood. I'll take care of it right away." At the press conference, cameras flashed relentlessly at Alyssa and Justin. Jasper strode confidently toward Alyssa and stood by her side. His dark eyes locked onto hers, reading the cold determination in her gaze. A fierce emotion burned within him as his heart pounded against his ribs. Suddenly, a sharp pain stabbed through his head, followed by an agonizing throb in his temples. Heat and cold swept through him in waves. Beneath the cover of his suit, his body trembled uncontrollably. The shift in Jasper was so sudden that no one, not even Alyssa, realized it. The only exception was Justin, who was standing on stage. He caught the torment Jasper was struggling to suppress. Slowly, a dark smile crept onto Justin's lips. So what if Jasper had aligned himself with the Taylors and Landon to shift the tides? As long as he remained dependent on narcotics, shackled by his addiction, he would never have the right to inherit Beckett Group. He would never be with Alyssa. Jasper would always be beneath him. Alyssa's heart skipped a beat. Something was wrong. She turned to Jasper, but to her shock, without so much as a glance her way, he strode toward the hall's exit and disappeared through the doors without looking back. "Can't win me back." Chapter 2453. Alyssa's body trembled, disappointment and shock flashing in her eyes. "Jasper." The reporter's cameras clicked furiously, capturing Jasper's retreating figure. The crowd exchanged puzzled glances. Jasper, Where are you going? Landon, dumbfounded, instinctively moved to chase after him, but Xavier grabbed his arm, stopping him forcefully. Mr. Harper, leave him to me. Without another word, Xavier took off after Jasper. A strange unease settled over Landon as he stared at the open door, a sense of impending doom creeping in. Landon, stay here and watch over Lys. Julian has disappeared. I am going to find him. After saying that, the grim-looking Jonah strode out of the room too. Hey. Landon clenched his jaw in frustration. Why am I always left behind to clean up the mess? Meanwhile, the reporters surged forward, swarming Justin. Cheryl tried to shield him behind her, but in heels, she was no match for the jostling crowd. She was shoved about, her outfit rumpled, and her hair left in disarray, making her look utterly disheveled and pitiful. Mr. Justin, you are the biggest beneficiary of Mr. Jasper's dismissal. In the end, you stole the position of president from him. A growing number of people believe this was a power struggle within an aristocratic family that you framed Mr. Jasper. What do you have to say to this? Did you orchestrate his arrest? Cheryl trembled, panic flashing across her face as cold sweat beaded her forehead. But Justin remained unnervingly calm. His gaze cut through the crowd, locking onto Alyssa, who stood at the periphery, staring at him with icy contempt. Then, in a deep, unwavering voice, he spoke as if his every action was justified. First of all, you're mistaken. I did not steal Jasper's position, I merely reclaimed what was rightfully mine. In our family, the eldest son is always the heir. That was the rule in my father's generation, and it remains the same in mine. Now that I've returned from my recuperation overseas, the presidency of Beckett Group should be mine, regardless of what happened to Jasper. Not a flicker of emotion crossed Justin's face as he delivered those words with shameless confidence, as if it were the most natural thing in the world. Secondly, Beckett Group is a publicly listed company. I alone cannot dictate whether a president stays or leaves. Jasper's dismissal was the outcome of a vote by the Beckett Group's board of directors. I had nothing to do with it. His final words hung in the air before he took one last look at Alyssa. He shot her a menacing smile before rushing off. Alyssa held her breath. A suffocation dread gripped her, as if venomous snakes coiled around her, ready to strike. MMR Justin. A sharp cry rang out as Cheryl, shoved by the reporters, lost her balance. With a sickening thud, she hit the ground. Cameras flashed, capturing her moment of humiliation. After locking the door to a washroom in the hotel, Xavier still felt uneasy. To be safe, he barricaded it with a cleaning cart and whatever else he could find. Mr. Beckett. How are you feeling? Usually tall and imposing, Jasper was now curled up in a corner, trembling violently. His chiseled face was ghostly pale, stripped of its usual nobility and charm. He looked utterly broken, destitute, dispirited, and lost a mere shadow of himself. Mr. Beckett, is this because of your... Xavier crouched before him, his eyes reddening with unshed tears. He couldn't bring himself to say the words. Drug addiction. Even now, he struggled to accept it. Night after night, he was haunted by nightmares, visions of Jasper's addiction spiraling out of control in public, his reputation crumbling into dust. And every time, Xavier would wake up in a cold sweat. Xavier. Xavier. Jasper's entire body convulsed as he lifted his bloodshot eyes to Xavier. His trembling hands reached out. Tie me up. Hurry. Tie me up. Xavier wiped his tears away before frantically yanking off his necktie. He wrapped it tightly around Jasper's wrists, securing the knot. No. This won't do. Jasper's willpower was crumbling under the weight of his craving. Tears streamed down his face as he pleaded, the pill. Just one. Give me a pill. Xavier shook his head furiously, his own tears falling. No. You can't take that. It's a narcotic. Tea then. Kill me. A raw, guttural roar tore from Jasper as agonizing hopelessness filled his bloodshot eyes. At that moment, Xavier, already tense, nearly jumped out of his skin when a knock echoed at the door. Can't win me back. Chapter 2454. Xavier gasped for air, his eyes fixed on the washroom door, now barricaded. He felt a sudden, clammy dread. Lost in his throes of addiction, Jasper's eyes glazed over as he succumbed to the familiar pull of unconsciousness. He was a sitting duck, helpless and at the mercy of whatever came his way. With a fierce glare, Xavier snatched up a mop and stormed to the door, his voice sharp and strained. Who's there? A steady and low voice came from the other side of the door. Mr. Hall, it's me. Julian. Xavier's grip loosened, the mop clattering to the floor as tears burst forth. Dr. Lovelace. Don't panic. I'm the only one out here. There's no one else here. Julian's voice softened, laced with urgency. Jasper is having an episode, isn't he? Let me in so I can take a look at him. Hastily wiping his face, Xavier shoved the cart aside and fumbled with the lock. The door creaked open, and Julian slipped inside, lithe and precise, locking it swiftly behind him. Dr. Lovelace, please. Please save Mr. Beckett. You are the only one who can save him now. Julian exhaled sharply and approached Jasper. To prevent Jasper from harming himself, Xavier had bound his hands with his own necktie. He then gagged Jasper with his tie, a desperate measure to stop him from biting his tongue. Kneeling before Jasper, Julian's face was ashen, his lips quivering as he fought back tears. Jasper! Julian! Help me! Jasper's bloodshot eyes met his, pleading, drowning in agony. His body shook uncontrollably, tears carving paths down his ashen face. I just, want to die. I'm here. You won't die. Julian retrieved a black cloth bag from his pocket, unfolding it to reveal an array of acupuncture needles and syringes filled with medication. Selecting a slender silver needle, he positioned it at Jasper's temple. You're not just my friend. You're my patient. I am responsible for you. I will answer with my own life if anything happens to you. Xavier's jaw dropped. Jasper, once a beacon of charm and competence, had been reduced to this fragile state. And Julian. Julian was staking everything on him. What if something happened to Julian? How would Jonah cope? And Alyssa? What would she do if something happened to Jonah? But Julian was already moving, deftly inserting needles at key points on Jasper's head and arms. Miraculously, Jasper's violent tremors eased. Though still pale and dazed, his breathing steadied, the torment receding. Julian gently untied the necktie binding Jasper's wrists. How long has he been like this? Xavier swallowed hard. Honestly, even before you left, he showed signs. He hid it and forced himself to endure. He didn't want anyone to know. Julian drew a syringe, administering its contents with practiced precision. His brows furrowed. How long do his episodes last? At first, 15 to 30 minutes. Now, if he doesn't take his pills, the pain lasts all night. Julian's heart ached as he slowly extracted the syringe. The addiction has rooted itself deep. Xavier couldn't resist asking, Dr. Lovelace, what did you give him? The effect was instantaneous. It's astonishing. Julian's face darkened. While I was away from Solana City, I worked in a Mosgravian lab, searching for a cure, a way to purge the toxins from Jasper's body and heal his brain injury. He glanced at Jasper, his expression heavy with regret. After countless trials, I found only a temporary relief for his symptoms. No cure. My skills aren't good enough. I. I'm a failure. Can't win me back. Chapter 2455. Don't say that. You've done really well so far. Xavier said gently, his voice a steady anchor as he tried to comfort Julian. He continued, many people spend their whole lives unable to quit even common drugs. The substance Mr. Beckett took is far more potent. The fact that he's found any relief at all is remarkable. Jasper's senses gradually returned, but he was left drained, and his eyes struggled to focus. Julian. I'm right here, Julian murmured, leaning in to gently wipe the tears and cold sweat from Jasper's face with a tissue. Struggling for breath, Jasper rasped, keep my condition. A secret, especially from her. Julian didn't need to ask who he meant. It had to be Alyssa. It wasn't pride that fueled Jasper's plea. It was something deeper, a desperate wish to shield Alyssa from the sight of his brokenness, to spare her the disappointment of seeing him like this. Xavier helped Jasper to stand before addressing Julian. Dr. Lovelace, I hope you understand the fewer people who know about Mr. Beckett's condition, the better. Julian nodded firmly. I understand. With Xavier steadying him, Jasper forced himself upright, his body trembling under the strain. Julian, Jonah, he's been looking for you all this time. Can you stay? Julian lowered his gaze, his expression cold and resolute. I'll share my acupuncture techniques and the medication I developed with Mr. Hall. He will handle your treatment from now on. A shadow crossed his face as he continued, I won't return to Cirrus until I've developed an effective medication against the drug. Don't tell Jonah I'm at the lab in Mosgravia. I don't want to see him again, not even if I were dying. Escorted by bodyguards, Justin and Cheryl finally reached the basement parking lot, having navigated a gauntlet of reporters whose relentless questions echoed around them. Though the live stream had ended, the fallout continued online. Discussions raged, and the public condemnation of Justin grew louder by the minute. The carefully crafted image he'd built since returning to the country was beginning to fracture. They were just steps from their car when four police officers broke through the crowd, heading straight for Cheryl. Ms. Gillis, you are under arrest for bribery, instigating perjury, and slander. You need to come with us. Cheryl stammered, her face draining of color as they cuffed her. She cast a desperate look at Justin, her eyes pleading for help. But Justin didn't spare her a glance. He slid into his car, indifferent. As the officers led Cheryl away, her heart plummeted, a hollow ache filling the space where hope had been. Justin's luxury car sped toward Seaview Manor, silence hanging heavy in the cabin until his secretary spoke from the passenger seat. Mr. Beckett, now that Ms. Gillis has been arrested, what are your next steps? Justin kept his eyes closed, his voice a cold whisper. Where's Remy? We haven't heard from him. His face darkened, a storm brewing just beneath the surface. Then, his phone rang. It was Javier calling. Justin answered, his voice smooth and warm. Hi, Dad. But his eyes told a different story, ice cold, razor sharp, and filled with a quiet, simmering rage. Javier's voice crackled through the speaker, tight with restrained anger. Come home now. We need to talk. Can't win me back. Chapter 2456. Chapter 2456. Jonah scoured every corner of the hotel, desperation clawing at his chest, but Julian was nowhere to be found. Jonah. Alyssa called out, breathless as she caught up to him. She grabbed his arm. Calm down. I'll help you search for Jule. I can't find him. He's gone, Jonah murmured, sinking to the floor. His tears mixed with sweat, creating dark patches on the ground. Lice. I fear, if I can't find Julian this time, I'll lose him forever. The agonizing thought of losing the love of his life pierced him. No, you won't. Alyssa gripped his arm tighter, her voice trembling with conviction. If Jule had given up on you, he wouldn't have come here today. The fact that he showed up means he still cares. Jonah's eyes were bloodshot, filled with a pain too deep to hide. He shook his head slowly. Julian came back for Jasper. He did it because he's loyal, because he's a good friend. Not because of me. He does care. Alyssa insisted. If he didn't, he would have faced you without flinching. But he didn't. He left without a word because he was avoiding you, Jonah. He just. Jonah cut Alyssa off, finishing her sentence. He just doesn't want to see me. Because I'm a source of nothing but pain and rage for him, isn't that it? A bitter chuckle escaped Jonah's lips. The pain in his heart felt like a physical wound, torn open and brutally trampled. Before Alyssa could respond, Xavier approached, his face drawn tight with tension. Ms. Alyssa. Mr. Jonah, he greeted, his voice rough. Turning to Jonah, he hesitated before speaking softly, Mr. Jonah, you can stop searching. Dr. Lovelace has left the hotel. Jonah's heart clenched. Where did Julian go? His voice was a raw whisper. He didn't mention. He simply told me to pass this message to you. Feeling utterly stressed out, Xavier continued in a low voice, Dr. Lovelace said to please stop looking for him. He doesn't want to see you right now. Choosing his words carefully, Xavier conveyed the gist of Julian's message, omitting the harshest parts. He simply couldn't bring himself to repeat them verbatim. The actual words had been too cutting. The words hit Jonah like a punch to the chest. He stood frozen, the world blurring around him. Xavier, where's Jasper? Is he still around? Alyssa inquired with a fervent look in her eyes. Xavier shook his head. He left. Alyssa stopped short, her words dying in her throat. Just then, Landon strode angrily towards them. Unbelievable. Jasper just left? The star of the show, gone without a word. Landon fumed. Xavier took a deep breath, trying to sound casual. Mr. Beckett said there was nothing more for him here, he stated. He had other things to take care of and has already left. Landon exploded, damn it. Something seriously wrong with his head. He's becoming more and more of a hypocrite. He then noticed Alyssa's pale face and softened his tone. Lice, don't let it get to you. You know Jasper's having neurological problems. It affects his behavior. Try not to judge him too harshly. He's really not well. Jasper was right, though, Alyssa murmured, biting her lip. His work here is finished. There's nothing and no one worth staying for. A flicker of pain crossed her face before she straightened, forcing a smile of relief and resolve. As long as he's happy. That's all that matters. I won't hold it against him. Without another word, she turned and walked away. Lice. Landon called, chasing after her. Torn between his own pain and concern for Alyssa, Jonah decided to go after her when Xavier's urgent cry rang out. Mr. Jonah. Jonah turned, his eyes dull. Dr. Lovelace is staying in the country for a few more days, possibly in Belbanks or Solana City. He'll be back in Mosgravia within 2 weeks. If you're serious about getting him back, you'll have to find him. Hearing this, Jonah's eyes filled with tears. He gave Xavier a firm, appreciative pat on the shoulder. The day was still bright when Justin received Javier's call. Can't win me back. Chapter 2457. Nonetheless, night had fallen by the time Justin arrived at Seaview Manor. On his way there, he worked on two things. First, he secured the top legal team to get Cheryl out on bail as quickly as possible. Second, he tried reaching Remy unsuccessfully. He had never lost contact with Remy before. Justin's face was as dark as the night itself. The moment he stepped inside Seaview Manor, Rory approached with a solemn expression. He gave a slight bow before speaking. "Mr. Justin, what took you so long?"
"Mr. Javier has been waiting. I was occupied," Justin replied coolly. Then, as if it were an ordinary evening, he allowed a faint smile.
"Where's Jasper? Is he back here yet?" A conflicted look came across Rory's face. "Things between you and Mr. Jasper have soured. I doubt he'll want to see you anytime soon or show up here."
"Is that so? How disappointing."
Justin's smile didn't reach his eyes. His gaze lingered on Rory, sharp and bottomless. So, he'd rather believe what he sees and the rumors floating around than trust his own brother, the same brother who had rescued him and gave him a second chance at life. The words left Rory visibly uncomfortable, but he said nothing. He simply led Justin to the study, quietly closing the door behind him. Javier didn't wait for formalities.
"Justin. How did it come to this?"
Javier, for the first time, lost his temper with Justin, throwing the iPad down in front of him. The screen was filled with a barrage of hateful comments directed at Justin. Javier continued, "Did you really bribe a doctor to give false testimony and smear Jasper's name just to strip him of the presidency? Do you realize the damage you've done to Jasper's reputation and to Beckett Group's standing? How could you frame your own brother for power? You were never like this." Justin remained composed, lowering his gaze as if Javier's fury was nothing more than background noise.
"Calm down, Dad. They're just rumors. No need to take them seriously. My son is being called a drug addict. How could I turn a blind eye and remain indifferent? I'm human, Justin."
Justin's nonchalance ignited Javier's fury, causing his cheek muscles to twitch uncontrollably. It wasn't simply the indifference in the face of such a serious matter. It was the chilling reminder of his younger self, the same detached mask he wore at Seaview Manor upon hearing Chester's death in prison.
"You've misunderstood me, Dad," Justin said evenly. "I didn't frame Jasper."
Justin poured himself tea with an air of practiced ease as if the walls weren't crumbling around him.
"Misunderstood you?
The evidence is right there, Ms. Alyssa, the doctor you bribed, that man from the Lovelace family. It's all laid out clearly. And yet you still call this a misunderstanding." Javier seethed with anger. He knew, deep down, that Jasper was far more capable. He'd only pushed for Justin as president because he'd been backed into a corner. Javier might be rigid and old-fashioned, but he wasn't stupid. He knew Jasper was the real force behind his fortune, the one who had single-handedly built Beckett Group into an empire. If he'd had any other option, he would never have given the presidency to anyone else, least of all Justin. That position belonged to Jasper. "So, what are you planning to do?" Justin sipped his tea, his brow creasing slightly in annoyance. "With the current public sentiments, cleaning this up will take time." Javier let out a long, heavy breath. "To protect the corporation, the public image, and Jasper's name, you're suspended from your role effective immediately. I'll take the role as president until this is resolved." A heavy, icy silence descended upon the study.
"Dad, earlier, you asked how I could frame Jasper for the sake of power.
That's because you and I weary the same." Justin glanced down and softly blew across the surface of his tea.
"I'm your son."
Javier's face became as white as a sheet. It was as if a bolt of lightning had struck him.
"What did you say?"
Justin's smile grew colder. His voice dropped to a sinister whisper. "Did you really think you're the only one who knows the truth about Uncle Chester's death? Can't win me back." Chapter 2458. Justin's casual question hit Javier like a thunderclap. Shock rippled through him, freezing his expression. His voice trembled with fear as he barked, "What nonsense is that? Are you accusing me of causing Chester's death? I'm your father. How could you think I'd do such a thing?"
"It's not an accusation. Just the facts," Justin replied coolly, crossing his legs and savoring his tea with unsettling calm. And I'm not condemning you. In fact, I understand why you did it. I'm facing the same dilemma now. Javier's breathing grew ragged. He had watched Justin grow from a child into the man before him, now a predator, circling with quiet menace. You were meant to be the heir as the eldest son, Justin continued, his voice smooth as silk. But Grandpa favored Uncle Chester, handing him major projects, grooming him in plain sight. Uncle Chester's reputation soon eclipsed yours. He was a natural leader, adept at business, with one fatal flaw: he was kind. Too kind. Unlike you. Justin leaned back, his tone casual, as if recounting an old fable. When Beckett Group's project collapsed and corruption rumors spread, Uncle Chester offered to take the fall. He went to prison to protect the family, to protect you, his beloved brother. Javier's face drained of color, his heart twisting painfully. This secret had been buried for 30 years, and now Justin laid it bare with ease. But how did he know? He was just a baby back then. Uncle Chester realized the truth too late, Justin mused softly. He walked into your trap the moment he took the blame. His death wasn't an accident. It was orchestrated. Justin tapped his temple thoughtfully. Let me guess. You convinced him with my name, didn't you? A helpless baby, a fragile wife with a fractured mind. Losing us would have shattered your perfect image of a family. Chester was the logical sacrifice, unmarried, childless, the ideal scapegoat. So, you see, I was part of your game too. Why, you dash Javier's heart pounded violently, his composure unraveling. Who on earth gave you such awful notions? Javier's first instinct wasn't denial but curiosity. He needed to know more about what Justin was saying. The truth was, Justin's accusations weren't baseless. This secret was Javier's undoing, yet it was also Justin's ultimate leverage. Justin lowered his teacup nonchalantly and continued, "There are no perfect crimes. Every sin leaves a trace. You never forgot Uncle Chester, did you? You remember bribing that prison medic, arranging for the injection that triggered his fatal heart attack. You remember the forged death certificate, the neat little cover-up." Justin's gaze darkened, slicing through Javier like a blade. "Dad, we're the same. We are the embodiment of ambition without conscience." Javier's eyes widened with horror. His own son, his blood, now wielded his darkest secret as a weapon. "Jasper is competent, yes, but he's too much like Uncle Chester. Too kind, too sentimental. That kind of weakness has no place in business, let alone in leading a corporation." Justin stood slowly, casting a shadow that seemed to stretch and darken the room. Approaching Javier, Justin placed a firm hand on his father's trembling shoulder, his grip tightening with quiet authority. "Dad, I'm the only one who can lead Beckett Group into a new era. Jasper's past successes are commendable, but they are nothing compared to my vision. You chose me. Trust in your decision." Terror gripped Javier, his chest constricting under the weight of Justin's words. In the early hours of dawn, Remy stirred in his hospital bed, consciousness creeping back slowly. It took a moment before he realized where he was and why. "Can't win me back." Chapter 2459. The hospital ward was bathed in a dim, yellow glow from the bedside lamp. The silence was thick, yet the room held a strange warmth and unfamiliar comfort that felt oddly familiar to Remy. Pain radiated through his body as he struggled to sit up. His eyes fell on Mandy, who was asleep beside his bed. Her hair was a mess, and her swollen eyes suggested she'd been crying. She was sound asleep. Remy stiffened. His breath quickened as he stared at her fragile figure. Slowly, he leaned forward, his fingers lifting slightly, tempted to reach out. Just as his hand hovered close, Mandy's lashes fluttered. In her sleep, she murmured, "Damien. Damien." I miss you so much. Tears slipped down her cheeks, silent and unbidden. A pang tugged at Remy's heart. Without thinking, he brushed away her tears with his calloused fingers. The moment his skin touched hers, a jolt shot through him, sharp and electrifying. Pain throbbed at his temples, but beneath it was a warmth he didn't want to let go of. Mandy stirred slightly, her brow furrowing. Remy swallowed hard and withdrew his hand. It was 6 a.m. when Alyssa made her way to the hospital. Mandy. Alyssa called out breathlessly as she pushed the door open. In the dim room, Mandy stood rigid beside the now empty hospital bed, her back to the door, staring blankly. He's gone. Alyssa's heart lurched. Gee, gone. Mandy turned, her eyes glassy with unshed tears and a bitter smile tugging at her lips. I mean, he left. He's not dead. Oh. Alyssa exhaled, relief washing over her. That close call had left her shaken and clammy with sweat. Still, disappointment settled in her chest. Remy had been their best lead to finding Amber. Mrs. Taylor, the test results are out. Neil burst into the room, breathless with excitement, clutching a report. He faltered upon seeing Alyssa, his enthusiasm dampened by hesitation. It's fine, Mandy said softly, her gaze steady. Lyce is one of us. Go ahead. It's all right. I know. Alyssa drew a deep breath and met Mandy's tear-filled gaze. I know you've been investigating Remy's identity. And you're right. He's Damian Taylor, your son, my brother, the one we've been missing all these years. Can't win me back. Chapter 2460. The hospital ward grew heavy with silence. Mandy and Neil stared at Alyssa, stunned beyond words. MMS Alyssa, you knew that man was Mr. Damian? Neil asked, disbelief etched into his voice. Yes. Alyssa's reply was quiet, her lips pressed into a thin line. She lowered her gaze, her voice barely above a whisper. We found out when Cyrus took Damian's cigarette butt for a paternity test. Mandy approached Alyssa, her shoulders trembling slightly. So, you and Cyrus knew, and you both kept it from me. Mandy said, her voice catching in her throat, tears welling up. Alyssa felt a sharp pang in her chest. Mandy, I'm sorry. It was my decision. Cyrus had nothing to do with it. Mandy's tears fell freely now, her grief spilling out in raw sobs. Do you know what it's been like for me all these years, thinking Damian was gone? Winston, Miley, Lila, and Colleen kept telling me to move on. I tried to accept that he was dead, that we'd never find his body. But I never did. Her voice broke. Night after night, I'd dream of Damian, drenched to the bone, standing there. Mom, the water's freezing. He'd say, again and again. Neil sighed deeply, his heart heavy. Alyssa's hands trembled as guilt gnawed at her. Uncontrollable tears flowed down Mandy's cheeks, her eyes burning with grief and resentment. Lyce, you knew everything, and you hid it from me. Didn't you think about how selfish that was? How unfair, how cruel. This outburst, these harsh words, was unprecedented from Mandy, who loved Alyssa like her own child. Alyssa was more precious to Mandy than her own child. But the intense pain she was experiencing now made her lose her usual calm and collected demeanor. I'm sorry. Alyssa choked out again, her voice strained with emotion. Mrs. Taylor, I completely understand how you feel. Neil stepped forward, unable to watch Alyssa take the blame alone. Mrs. Taylor, you've watched Ms. Alyssa grow up. You know her character. She wouldn't act without careful consideration. I'm certain she had her reasons for keeping this information from you. Alyssa swallowed hard, her voice shaking. Mandy, Damian's in grave danger. Mandy froze. Alyssa continued, he survived a plane crash but lost his memory. he's being manipulated, a pawn in someone else's game. And the person pulling the strings could easily dispose of him if they felt threatened. I was afraid that revealing his identity would put him in immediate danger either by losing the manipulator's trust or by direct retaliation. That's why I kept it from you and Dad. I knew how much you both love him, and I was afraid you might inadvertently make things worse. Mandy's heart twisted with worry, her tear-filled eyes widening. Who's manipulating Damien? Alyssa shook her head. I'm sorry, Mandy. I can't say. It's for your safety and Dad's. There were people after Damien today. I saw them, Mandy said, her hand gripping Alyssa's tightly. Her voice was laced with fear. If this mastermind needs Damien for something, why would he send assassins after him? Alyssa was stunned into silence, her mind grappling with the new information. Damien hadn't regained his memory yet, and Justin was short on reliable men. So why would Justin target Damien? Could someone else be trying to eliminate Damien to weaken Justin? The sheer complexity of the situation was overwhelming. Alyssa, despite her own worries, attempted to comfort Mandy. Mandy, try not to fret. Damien is different now. He's so strong, so resilient. No one can just hurt him. Mandy's response was sharp. Resilient? Do you even know that when I took him to the hospital, the doctor said he would have died if we'd waited any longer? Mandy struggled to breathe, overwhelmed with emotion. Alyssa immediately moved to her side, gently patting her back to calm her. Lies. It took me so long to meet with Damien again. I would rather die if I were to lose him again. You won't lose him, Mandy. This time, I will make sure that Damien returns home safely. Just then, Mandy's cell phone vibrated. Her gaze fell to the screen, where a blinking red dot moved steadily southward across the map. Wide-eyed, Alyssa asked, Mandy, what's this? Mandy's grip tightened on the phone. I put a tracker on Damien's phone while he was unconscious. Solana City is too big. This is the only way I can find him. Alyssa exhaled sharply, silently grateful for Mandy's foresight. Meanwhile, Remy left the hospital without a word, heading straight to Justin. In a dimly lit room, Justin sat in his wheelchair, his reflection cold and distorted in the floor-to-ceiling windows. I apologize, sir, Remy said stiffly, his face pale. I failed my mission. Justin's voice was as cold as ice. You've served me well for many years, Remy. I'll give you a chance to explain what happened. Remy's eyelashes flickered as he lowered his gaze. I was ambushed on the way there, he said. Oh. Justin slowly swiveled his wheelchair, raising an eyebrow at Remy with a hint of curiosity. There were a lot of them, Remy said. Far too many for me to fight off by myself. I was cut. He tugged his collar aside, showing the gruesome gash on his shoulder to confirm his story. Justin studied the injury, his face unreadable. Remy, his face resolute, spoke with heartfelt sincerity. Nevertheless, I failed. I accept whatever consequences you deem necessary, even death. I know who attacked you. Remy was startled. You do. They weren't after you. They were after me. Justin reached into his breast pocket and pulled out a playing card, the King of Spades. He held it between his fingertips before flicking it sharply at Remy's feet. Can't win me back. Chapter 2461. Remy pursed his lips, bending down to pick up the fallen poker card. It was the King of Spades, an entry pass to King's Club. My attacker was. Remy's pupils constricted as he tightened his grip on the card. It can only be that dear uncle of mine, always claiming to see me as his own son. Justin's lips curled into a sinister smile. He's trying to get rid of my right-hand man, taking advantage of my internal feud with Jasper. Weakening me is just his first step toward gaining control over me. He's been a fugitive ever since his successful prison break, never returning to Ceres after receiving his life sentence. His power base remains in Contina. I'm the last surviving Dutton. The Dutton Group, as a cover, has declared bankruptcy and severed all ties with the country. My dear uncle has taken a huge risk just to target me. He sent his men to attack you in Solana City. What a delightful surprise. It seems he truly doesn't trust me, his only remaining family. Remy lowered his gaze, his eyes dim. He's wary of you because he's afraid you'll supersede him. Justin clicked his tongue. Supersede him? Zachary is nothing but a stepping stone for me, my ticket to King's Club and greater power overseas. Once I complete the new drug research, I'll replace him as one of their VIPs. Justin's eyes gleamed with ambition. The future of a ruler stretched before him. Remy's temples throbbed at the mention of the new drug, and one name came to mind: Amber. That poor woman was locked away in an abandoned hospital, subjected to torturous experiments for the sake of that very drug. He furrowed his brow but kept his tone cold. What's your next move? I need to secure Project A5. That's my key to becoming King's Club's honored guest. An incoming call interrupted him. In the darkness, Justin's gaze fell on his phone. His expression hardened as he answered. Hello, Mr. Gentry. Rafe coughed. Mr. Beckett. Rafe paused. He chuckled awkwardly before continuing, I know that Beckett Group has been facing challenges lately. I hate to bother you, but... Justin's patience thinned. Just get straight to the point. About the Project A5 partnership, we may need to reconsider. Your share prices have been plummeting, and after the press conference incident, public opinion is against you. If I continue backing you, I'll face scrutiny, possibly even a summons from the Department of Justice. So, you're cutting ties and looking for another partner. A dark gleam crossed Justin's eyes. No, I'm not cutting ties. I just believe that when there's life, there's hope. Even if we can't close this deal, we're still associates. Rafe did his best to paint a rosy picture for Justin. I'm Beckett Group's best connection in Solana City. In fact, I've secured a document for a cultural city project set to begin bidding in 3 years. I promise it'll be yours. You have my word. 3 years. Justin's voice dripped with mock gratitude. How kind of you. But before you decide, let me show you something. Justin tapped his phone, sending a video. Moments later, Rafe's sharp intake of breath was audible through the call. His voice quivered with both fear and rage. You set me up? How could you? The video showed Rafe, naked and debauched on a couch, flanked by two unclothed women. If this got out, he'd be ruined. You're exaggerating. Justin glanced at Remy, who immediately lowered his gaze. Remy then stepped forward and refilled Justin's teacup. Justin's tone was calm, almost amused. I simply captured your finest moment to remind you that we're on the same boat. Rafe's head spun in anger. Why, you? Justin remained unbothered. That's not all. I also have records of your lavish spending at my clubhouse this past year. If I handed them over to the authorities, do you think Solana City's council would reward me for civic duty? Dante. Mr. Beckett, I'm willing to renegotiate, Rafe blurted, panicked. Justin's voice turned steely. Project A5 has to be mine. I want it. Can't win me back. Chapter 2462. Chapter 2462. Rafe stated, but Beckett Group is in the middle of a storm right now. If I insisted on giving your corporation the project, my superiors would investigate me. I wouldn't be able to escape unscathed. If you're investigated, I'll make sure you can still live a life of luxury even if you lose your job. Justin's tone darkened. But if you turn against me, you won't just suffer a few losses. You'll lose everything. Under the dim moonlight, Justin fiddled with his antique teacup, his gaze narrowing. You've worked so hard to get to where you are. Are you prepared to lose it all? After ending the call, Justin turned to Remy, who stood quietly at the side. Cheryl is still being detained. She can't be bailed out for another 2 days. I need someone to watch over the research lab. You'll handle that. Remy was taken aback. I failed my last mission. Aren't you going to punish me? Justin's smile was cold and insincere. It wasn't your fault. You were ambushed. If not for that, I trust you wouldn't have let me down. After leaving the villa and getting into his car, Remy noticed his shirt was soaked in cold sweat. He had never felt fear in all his years following Justin and seeing him as his lifesaver. But now, an unsettling feeling of dread gripped him. Why was he afraid? Was it fear that his changes would spiral out of control or that Justin might see right through him? With no outlet for his suppressed emotions, Remy bit back the discomfort and sped down the winding road, cigarette in hand. After some time, his instincts flared. He glanced in the rearview mirror. A black luxury car was following him. His eyes turned icy. Remy accelerated, drifting perfectly around a sharp bend. Tires screeched against asphalt, sending up clouds of white smoke. The trailing car fell behind. Meanwhile, back at Heitsnow Villa, Mandy paced restlessly, eyes glued to the tracker on her phone. Alyssa, determined to make up for past mistakes, had put all her work aside to stay by Mandy's side. Just then, Mandy's phone buzzed. Mrs. Taylor, the reception at Domara Mountain is terrible. It's unstable, her subordinate reported. I think I'm getting closer to the target, but I can't confirm if it's the person you're looking for. Anxious, Mandy exclaimed, but you're getting farther away. Her subordinate helplessly said, I'm sorry, Mrs. Taylor. Their driving is incredible. I lost them at the last bend. Immediately after, Mandy asked, Lice, why would Damien be at Domara Mountain? Does he live there? Perhaps. Worried that Mandy might complicate things, Alyssa didn't share that Justin's private villa could be nearby. Damn it! The signal's gone. Mandy cried out urgently. Don't panic, Mandy. Reception at Domara Mountain is bad. The tracker will kick back in when it hits a better spot, Alyssa reassured her softly. Then, her tone grew serious. Promise me you'll only track him from a distance. Don't show yourself to Damien. And under no circumstances should you go to him alone. Can you promise me? Mandy nodded, her eyes shadowed with unease. Since Julian's appearance at the press conference and his sudden disappearance, Jonah hadn't slept for 3 days. He even called his old subordinate Evan, and got Landon and Colleen to gather men from Harper Group and Ivory Group to scour Solana City and Bell Banks. In the early hours of the third morning, Jonah was walking aimlessly through the streets, looking like a broken ghost, when Evan called. Judas. Get here now. I found your partner. Evan's voice was breathless with emotion. Standing in the freezing wind, Jonah froze. His heart clenched. Where's Julian? He's at a gay bar. I'll send the address to you. Can't win me back. Chapter 2463. The bar was alive with striking lights and thundering music, and the air was thick with the scent of tobacco and alcohol. The atmosphere was one of moral decay, corrupt, degrading, and vile. Where's Julian? Jonah's voice cut through the noise, his tone icy and sharp. When Jonah stepped inside, the eyes of several men turned toward him, their gazes filled with illicit intent. Why, hello there. Are you here alone? Are you feeling lonely? A sexy man sauntered over, draping himself over Jonah's shoulders. He let his hands linger with a playful squeeze. If you're bored, I'd be happy to keep you company. Jonah's expression darkened. His hands trembled, veins bulging with barely contained rage. Suddenly, Evan burst through the crowd, his face twisting in alarm at the sight of Jonah surrounded by a swarm of predatory men. Evan yelled, "Don't touch him!" A heavy thump reverberated through the room. Gasps erupted as people scrambled back. The man who had draped himself over Jonah now lay crumpled on the floor, groaning in pain. Jonah hadn't even moved from his spot. Evan exhaled in relief. It was okay for Jonah to brawl so long as his actions were morally justifiable. "Where's Julian?" Jonah repeated, stepping over the man without a second glance and closing in on Evan. "He's at the bar. Let me walk you there." "No need," Jonah rasped, eyes already scanning the crowd. Even amidst the chaos, Jonah's commanding presence drew every gaze in the room. Evan watched him go, his mind whirring. Jonah was right. Julian and Blake were polar opposites. Blake was gentle and quiet, with a demeanor so unassuming that it bordered on demure. He wouldn't be caught dead in a place like this, let alone interacting with such shady men. Jonah once said that being with Blake made him feel safe and content, leading Evan to believe he sought a loving and understanding partner. Julian, however, shattered that assumption. While strikingly handsome and bearing a resemblance to Blake, Julian was volatile and unyielding, the polar opposite of everything Blake represented. Evan had initially believed Jonah's tolerance of Julian stemmed from his attractive face, but now he wasn't so sure. Jonah was undeniably in love with Julian, and it wasn't just about his looks anymore. He loved the whole package, the flaws, the rebelliousness, everything. He might even have loved Julian more than he ever loved Blake. In a light purple shirt, Julian's drunken gaze was unfocused. With a few buttons undone, his sculpted collarbone and a hint of pale skin were visible as a man refilled his glass. A man leaned toward him with a hungry gleam in his eyes. "I noticed you the moment I walked in," the man said. "You're my ideal type." The corny pickup line earned Julian a wide, sarcastic smile. Turning his cheek to the man, he deliberately displayed his scar. "And now?" he asked, his voice dripping with irony. "Still your ideal type." The cross-shaped scar on Julian's face initially startled the man, his eyes widening in surprise. But the shock quickly gave way to something else, something akin to awe. He reached out, his touch gentle, and whispered, "You're mesmerizing. To me, you are my Venus." But Julian didn't give him a chance. He stood abruptly, hopped onto a bench, and leaped onto the stage, where a half-naked pole dancer swayed to the beat. Julian joined in, grinding to the music with a reckless abandon that made the crowd's eyes lock onto him. The man who had approached him practically drooled. Just as he began climbing onto the stage, a hand seized his wrist with crushing force. A loud crack echoed through the room. The man let out a yelp as he was lifted into the air and slammed to the floor. The crowd gasped. Jonah towered over him, pressing his boot hard against the man's abdomen until he gagged. "If he's Venus," Jonah said, his voice a growl, "do you know who I am?" The man whimpered, trembling as his face paled. "I'm Mars." Jonah stepped past him without a backward glance, his gaze locked on Julian as he swiftly mounted the stage. Lost in the music and the haze of alcohol, Julian was blissfully unaware of the man before him, whose bloodshot eyes were filled with affection and unshed tears.